Well, if you were here last Sunday, I tried to warn you that things were going to get a little more difficult this week. This is where sort of the Sermon on the Mount starts to, you know, the rubber starts to hit the road. Jesus says, if you are a follower of mine, here's what God and I expect. And let me just remind you, just before the beginning of this passage is that point we read at the end of last week's passage where Jesus starts talking about the law. And he says, I have come not to abolish God's law, but to fulfill it. And I would suggest to you not just fulfill it, but in this passage that Britt just read for us, Jesus says, here's how you should live according to God's law. And the bottom line of what he's getting at is, I mean, one of the problems with laws is you can live just according to the sort of surface, literal reading of the law, the letter of the law, we might say, and miss the spirit of the law. And I think part of what Jesus is getting at into this passage today is to say, we expect you, my father and I, to go beyond the letter of the law and live out the spirit of the law. It must go deeper. And that's not always a pleasant thing. I mean, one of the issues with law, let's just take this first one, comes from the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill, or as it's rendered in today's translation, thou shalt not murder. I mean, one of the problems with a law like that, particularly a negative law, is it sets the bar pretty low. I am fairly confident in assuming that no one here in this sanctuary has ever murdered someone. So, you could get to the end of a day and reflect back on how have I done living up to what God expects of me today, and you could say, you know what, I didn't murder anyone today. What a good Christian I am. Now, I realize there may be particular days in your life when the people you are dealing with, if you can get to the end of the day and say, I didn't murder anyone today, that might be a positive thing. But most days, that's a pretty low bar. And that's why Jesus says, you know, you've heard it said, thou shalt not murder, but here's what I tell you. I'm going to raise the bar. Did you get angry at anyone today? Did you hurt anyone, whether intentionally or not? Did you cause pain? Does anyone have a grudge against you for anything you did today? If so, that's bothersome to my father and I. To the point that, at least in this part of the passage, Jesus says, you know, if you are bringing your gift to the altar, if you're bringing your offering and you realize someone has a grudge against you, notice he doesn't say a legitimate grudge. Just says if anyone has a grudge against you, go and make it right before you offer your gift. This is not any stewardship committee's favorite passage. But notice what Jesus is saying here. It's more important to God that you make a gift of your relationships and how you are treating other people in your relationships. That is more important to God than any gift you could bring. And I think that's how we are to interpret each one of these specific things Jesus mentions. It's about how we treat other people and in our various relationships with other people. I think that's how we are to take what are perhaps the two most difficult to our modern ears of these antitheses, the one about adultery and the one about divorce. It is interesting to me that in speaking of adultery, Jesus directs it specifically to the males. You've heard it said you shouldn't commit adultery. I say to you, if you even look at a woman with lust in your heart, that's bothersome. going back to my presidential trivia, that always reminds me of that phrase of that infamous interview candidate Jimmy Carter did in 1976 with Playboy magazine when he admitted to lusting in his heart. And he was raked over the coals. How times have changed. Anyway, the point is, again, the idea is if you have looked at someone else as an object for your own enjoyment or pleasure rather than as a fellow human being worthy of dignity and respect, you can do better. And my father and I want you to do better. And similarly, I think with the divorce part of this passage, what Jesus is saying is, sure, Moses allowed a certificate of divorce, but clearly in this time of Jesus, men were getting those certificates of divorce for all sorts of reasons. And Jesus says, again, as in these other ideas, treat the person you are in relationship with love and dignity and respect. That comes even at the point when you may be severing the relationship. Don't treat someone else as an object, but treat them with respect and dignity. Even when it comes, maybe especially when it comes to divorce. And when it comes to pledging, the traditional rendering of this part of the passage talks about swearing, but that can make us think that Jesus is concerned about bad language. And that's not really it. It's making a pledge, swearing, for example, in court on the Bible. What I'm about to say is the truth, the whole truth, so help me God. And what Jesus is saying here, again, is live your life in a way that you are so truthful that you don't need to take a pledge on the Bible for people to know you are being truthful. Let your yes be yes and your no be no and live up to that, again, in your dealings with other people. Show dignity and respect and even love to them in relationships, even in business or adversarial relationships that might take you before the court. You've heard it said, Jesus goes on, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That old transactional idea of relationship. What you do to me, I will do in return. And Jesus says, I tell you, go the extra mile. Someone asks for your coat, give them your shirt. This is where we get the famous phrases. Go the extra mile. He's someone who would give you the shirt off his back. Jesus is saying relationships in God's kingdom are not transactional. Doesn't matter how someone treats you. What's important and what you can control is how you treat others. So regardless of how you are treated by others, you treat them well. If you're asked for help, you go the extra mile. That's what God cares about, how you behave, how you treat other people. We're essentially at the golden rule without Jesus saying it here. Treat others the way you want to be treated, except that we so often turn that into an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I will treat you the way you treat me. And Jesus says, we're going to go deeper than that. Which is why he concludes with love your enemies. You've heard it said, love your neighbor, which means as a corollary, go ahead and hate your enemy. Jesus says, excuse me, you're going to love your enemy. I don't care that they're your enemy. Even knowing they're your enemy, love them, pray for them. Do better than the transactional nature of the world, the conditional nature. In other words, love everyone. I think we've heard that before. Love everyone. Treat everyone with dignity and respect in all your relationships, even the most fleeting. So, when that telemarketer calls you, when you're having dinner, and they've called you every night this week, I don't care, Jesus says. Treat them with dignity and love. That person, this is the one that I often wrestle with, that person driving in the left lane of the highway, going exactly the speed limit because they're texting an important message, love them. Pray for their safe travels. Love your enemies. Go the extra mile. Treat everyone with respect and dignity and love as a child of God, regardless of how they treat you. Because this is about you and me, how we behave. God doesn't like the status quo. God wants us to be better and do better. And if that's what God wants, why wouldn't we do it? I don't know about you, but when it comes to these issues of love and dignity and respect and making sure I treat every single person that way, I know I can do better. I'll bet you can do better too. So let's do better. Amen.